Welcome to the Outreach Mass. O my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. For those who are unable to receive Holy Communion today in person, let us pray a spiritual communion prayer and ask for the graces of the most holy and blessed sacrament. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen.
Welcome to all of our parishioners, our outreach community, and especially anyone who may be visiting with us here today as we celebrate the sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time. Our presider for this liturgy is Father Gordon, and this Mass is being offered for Jeannie Lewis.
And of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. My friends, as we prepare for Lent starting next week, let us purify our hearts, let us confess that we are sinners, let us seek God's grace, let us seek God's mercy that we might grow ever closer each day. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters. Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory, Lord God, heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world. Receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill.
And let us pray. O God, who teach us that you abide in hearts that are just and true, grant that we may be so fashioned by your grace as to become a dwelling pleasing to you, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Sirach. If you choose, you can keep the commandments, they will save you. If you trust in God, you too shall live. He has set before you fire and water. To whichever you choose, stretch forth your hand. Before man are life and death, good and evil. Whichever he chooses shall be given him. Immense is the wisdom of the Lord. He is mighty in power and all-seeing. The eyes of God are on those who fear him. He understands man's every deed. No one does he command to act unjustly. To none does he give license to sin. The word of the Lord.
Blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord. Blessed are they. Blessed are they. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his decrees. With all their hearts they seek him. Blessed are they who follow. Carefully kept. May my ways be firm in keeping your statutes. Blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord. Blessed, blessed are they. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see the wonders of your law. Blessed are they. Statutes, and I will keep them to the end. Grant me insight that I may keep your law and observe it wholeheartedly. Blessed are they who
first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, we speak a wisdom to those who are mature, not a wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. Rather, we speak God's wisdom, mysterious, hidden, which God predetermined before the ages for our glory, and which none of the rulers of this age knew. For if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and what has not entered the human heart, what God has prepared for those who love him. This God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit scrutinizes everything, even the depths of God. The word of the Lord.
Blessed are you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You have revealed to little ones the mysteries of the kingdom. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'You shall not kill,' and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever says to brother, 'Rakah,' will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar. Go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while on the way to court. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery,' but I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body thrown into Gehenna. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body go into Gehenna. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife must give her a bill of divorce.' But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'Do not take a false oath, but make good to the Lord all that you vow.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, not by heaven, for it is God's throne, not by the earth, for it is his footstool, not by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord. We see all throughout the Old Testament that Israel rejoices in the revelation of God's law, in the revelation of God's command, because to know the command of the Lord is to know the Lord. We are created in the image and likeness of God. When we know God's will, when we know God's ways, when we know God's plans, we know the God in whom we were created, in whose image we were created. And it's like knowing the instructions. It's like knowing how to make things work. It's like knowing how to become your best. You know the Creator, you know how creation functions, and you can play along with it, you can lean into it. You're not just stumbling and fumbling around in the dark, hoping to figure things out on your own. Israel rejoiced in God's commandment. It was a sign of God's love. It was a sign of God's mercy. It was being let in on this great secret, right? The Lord was revealing something.
And it was a way to know the Lord. It was a sign of God's friendship. And even here, as we read from the wisdom of Jesu ben Sirach, that first reading, it talks about knowing and living God's commandments is life. It is salvation. St. Paul echoes that in the second reading as he writes to the Corinthians, to know God's wisdom, no matter how strange it may be, right? Following Jesus, who says, pick up your cross and follow me. You can't think of something much more countercultural than that. Pick up your cross, and that's life-giving? Absolutely. Jesus has given his life for us, and he asks that we give our life for him. And in that surrender of our life, we find life and find life eternal. What a countercultural, what a strange way it is indeed. When Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life, I think there's something didactic about that. You follow him, you're not sure, you follow his way, and then suddenly you realize, no, this is truthful. I'm happier, I'm less worried, I'm less anxious, I'm less consumed with guilt and shame. And you find the life of it. You follow the way, you experience the truth of it, and ultimately you experience it as life-giving. As much as sometimes we don't like rules, we don't like to be under somebody else's authority, it's better than being under the devil's control. Let's face it. We are grateful for God's commandments. They are life-giving. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. And so we celebrate the gift and the revelation of God's law. Now, this goes to another level because in the time of the Messiah, when the Word of God becomes flesh and dwells among us, we realize that God's Word isn't just a letter on a page. It is the Christ. Jesus is God's command. Jesus is God's law to us. It's when we talk about Jesus' word being living and effective, it's him. He is living and effective. It's not just some dead letter of some antiquated time. When we talk about God's word, it is Jesus. And so when Jesus teaches, he's giving us a share in his own divine life, which is so different from any other human authority or institution that we're used to. Jesus is God's word to us, the word of the Father. And we've just, you know, been reading for the last Sunday or two the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, and it's a long chapter. That wasn't even all of it, and that was a long reading. But he's teaching, and he's revealing to us God's will and God's ways. Why? That we can share his divine life, that we can be what we were created to be, the saints that we are called to be, to overcome sin, to overcome death, to shine like the stars in the sky for all eternity. It is for our good. It is for our benefit. It's not to keep us down. It's not to make us jump through hoops and you know, rules and regulations for no particular reason. He's teaching us how to become like him. And of course, Matthew chapter 5 begins with the Beatitudes, which are Christ, right? The Beatitudes are the virtues that Jesus exemplifies. He's showing us how to be more like him. And so in this little passage, of course, he's talking about the beauty of God's law. And although he has come to inaugurate a new and eternal covenant, and you hear that every time we celebrate the Eucharistic prayer and the priest raises the chalice, what does he say? This is the blood of the new and what? Eternal covenant. Eternal covenant comes with an eternal law and an eternal priesthood. And so Jesus is coming to teach. He's coming to inaugurate a new and eternal covenant with a new and eternal law. And so he's teaching what that is. And he doesn't shy away, and he doesn't pull away from the law of the former covenant. He lifts it up, he fulfills, he perfects it. He doesn't undermine the past giving of the law, the past giving of the Ten Commandments. He certainly does not undermine divine authority as it has been used, even when it isn't used perfectly by some of the religious leaders of the time, right? Authority stems from God. He's very clear to the apostles, right? Although the religious leaders sometimes do not live up to it well, do what they tell you. Don't imitate them, right? Sometimes they don't practice what they preach, but they sit on the chair of Moses, do whatsoever they tell you. Don't do what they do, but do what they tell you. He never undermines the giving of the law, the giving of divine revelation, or the giving of authority, because he's come to perfect the giving of that law and that divine authority. And he's going to entrust that to the church. So he doesn't want to undermine the means of salvation. That authority is there to bind and loose, to liberate us from sin and to liberate us from death. And so he perfects it. And so he kind of enumerates, you know, he goes through some of the commandments. He talks about, you know, the law against thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. And yet he doesn't change it. He gives us the spirit of the law behind it. And the spirit doesn't nullify the letter of the law, it perfects it. He says, you know, long before you get to, you know, wanting to kill somebody, you know, you start nurturing anger and bitterness and resentment and thoughts of vengeance. And you start condemning and hating them. You kind of start killing them in your mind and in your heart. And he says, don't go down that path. Now, this is very Jewish, right? In Jewish thought, if you don't want to cross a line, back up a couple of yards and put a fence there. Right? If you don't want to go over the cliff, put a fence in front of the cliff. And this is very Jewish. What a beautiful way to avoid transgressing the law. If you don't want to go down that road, well, put a fence so you don't go down that road. And the fence says, don't let the sun set on your anger. Don't let that anger become deep-seated bitterness and resentment and hatred, because then you're going to just start moving towards crossing that fifth commandment. Be forgiving. Forgive 70 times, 7 times. Do whatever it takes, but don't let that anger settle into your hearts if you don't want to transgress the fifth commandment. Similarly, with the sixth commandment, he's not just talking about infidelity in marriage or relationships outside of marriage which are inappropriate. He says, you know, you are created in the image and likeness of God. You are the glory of God. You are sacred unto the Lord. Don't treat each other like objects. Don't objectify each other. Don't lust after each other. Don't treat each other as less. The minute we start going down that road, everything happens that's bad. Here's where the problem starts. And so he gives us the spirit of the law. Nip it in the bud. Don't objectify each other. Don't covet each other. Don't lust after each other. If we can nix that before that becomes a deep-seated fixation, we'll avoid a whole lot of awful and ugly sins, transgressions, breakdown of marriages and families and all those things, if we can nip it in the bud. He gives us the spirit of the law not to nullify or undermine the letter of the law, but to uphold it, to perfect it, to fulfill it, for he is the law. Now, especially in our day and age, a very subjective culture, a very relativist culture, when pretty much every fundamental Christian teaching is being undermined or challenged, there's ideological challenges to the sanctity of life, to the meaning of life, to the meaning of marriage, to the meaning of family, to the meaning of love, to the meaning of gender, to the meaning of the body, to the meaning of sexuality, you name it. Everything's being called into question, right? And oftentimes, people, if they really are not acquainted well with Jesus and his teaching, if they just have a superficial image of Jesus, sometimes they just treat him like, well, he's a nice guy, so therefore he's just going to roll with anything. Jesus loves you, but Jesus also died for you. He has every right to expect the best from us. He has every right to demand perfection,
to demand difficult things from us. He did difficult things for us. He has every right to demand that we do our level best to avoid all sin in return, right? So he's not just a pushover. Jesus loves us, but he is not a pushover. And he's not dumb, and he's not naive. He is the living and eternal God. He sees through all of our ruses, and in the end, God will not be mocked. So oftentimes I hear these things, you know, well, I mean, if Jesus was teaching or preaching today, he would be for you name it. And I just go right back to this and say, you know, Jesus inaugurated a new and eternal covenant. With a new and eternal covenant comes a new and eternal law, which clearly, by Jesus' own words, read Matthew chapter 5, builds on what was given before, the law given in the Old Testament. And in fact, probably makes it a little more difficult, not less. If Jesus is going to say, guys, none of that matters, you can just forget all of that, he needs to promulgate that. That's just how law works. You can't be judged by a law that isn't stated, promulgated, taught, revealed. You know, you can't be judged if the lawgiver has some secret rule that has not been told to you. That's just unfair, patently unfair. Doesn't work that way. If Jesus is going to inaugurate a new and eternal covenant and a new and eternal law, he has to state explicitly what is in that law. He can't have things be unsaid. It doesn't count. If it's not stated, if it's not promulgated, it is not part of the law. And likewise, those who might just say, well, you know, but that was then, this is now. What part of new and eternal do you not understand? Eternal means in the divine mind, God understands all time and space. He has foreseen all the difficulties of now and then. If this is how God is, this is how God is. Just because we think we are more enlightened now does not mean that we know better than the Almighty. God's ways are higher than our own ways, right? That's Isaiah 55. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are God's ways above our ways. We are not smarter than the mind of God. So it is tough. I mean, sometimes people pull those little tricks, trying to confuse us, trying to get us to, you know, give into whatever it is, the ideology of the day, whatever the challenge of the day might be. We stand on the rock of Christ. We stand on his eternal covenant and his eternal law. And again, the giving of the church as a magisterium, as a teaching authority, is there to bind and loose. And yes, there are new questions. There are new events. There are new technologies. There are new medicines. There are new procedures that sometimes the church has to evaluate and say yay or nay. And what Jesus says is whatever the church binds on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever the church looses on earth will be loosed in heaven, so that you're not going to be judged by a law you do not know. That wouldn't be fair. That doesn't help your salvation. The church and the gift of the law and the gift of God's commandment and the authority to interpret that in new situations and new technologies is there for our protection, so that you know what's the rules. And you can play by those rules. And if we mess it up, we go to confession, right? But that is there for our protection. And so the law is a good thing. Sometimes the world treats it like, you know, rules are meant to be broken, and all law is somehow oppressive. I get it. Human legislation is a very imperfect thing. Human government is a very imperfect thing, absolutely. But this is divine law we're talking about. This is the God who created us, who knows how we are created, who made us to work this way. And so when God says, this is how you were created, roll with it, it's there that we might shine. It's there that we might live our best lives. He's there to lift us up, not to put us down. And that is God's love for us. And so our world might have kind of a tricky relationship sometimes with rules and laws and regulations and authority. And we live in a very sort of anti-authoritarian time, but as we reflect on
the Sermon on the Mount, as we reflect on this, you know, and we're reading it slowly over a number of weekends. Now we'll shift into Lent, so we'll kind of take a break. But if we need to reread Matthew chapter 5, do it. Let's appreciate the beauty of the gift of the law. It's not just the dead letter. It is the very word of God. It is Christ. It is our relationship with Christ. And Jesus is on our side. He comes as merciful Savior to lead and to guide and to bring us to the kingdom. And so let us not fight him on that. Let us give him the benefit of the doubt, even if we don't understand completely all the reasons why God does what God does. Sometimes God's judgments are a little bit mysterious to us. Amen. But let us seek to know God's law, to learn it, to appreciate it, to love it, to live it, and most of all, to share it, that a world might come to that same gift of life and ultimate salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us stand and profess that faith which unites us as one in the body of Christ these 2,000 years.
I believe, O God, Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father, through him.
Let us offer our prayers and petitions to our merciful Father on behalf of the needs of our world.
For those called to the priesthood or religious vocations, may God continue to grant them a spirit of faithfulness and fortitude. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who govern, may the Holy Spirit bless them with an abundance of understanding and prudence. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those with mental illness, may they receive support and proper treatment and be renewed in hope through our prayers and compassion. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our faith community gathered here, may God make us witnesses to his transformative love. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the sick and suffering in our community, may God's Holy Spirit restore them to the fullness of life and health, especially Dennis Mooney, Peg Schneider, Angelica and George Liu, our television, radio, and online community, and those listed in our book of prayer. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our beloved dead, may God welcome them into his heavenly kingdom with all the angels and saints, especially Bonnie Cicilli, Thomas Cleary, and all the holy souls in purgatory. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Almighty Father, we ask that you hear our prayers that we place before you through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
not seen, ear has not heard what God has ready for those who love Him. Spirit of love, come give us the mind of Jesus. Teach us the wisdom of God. Down, be near to us, O Lord. Forgive the weakness of our faith and bear us up within your peaceful word. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God of love, come give us the mind of Jesus. Teach us the wisdom of God. Our lives are but a single breath, we flower and we fade, yet all our days are in your hands, so we return in love what love has made. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God has ready for those who love Him. Spirit of love, come give us the
stand and pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. May this oblation, O Lord, we pray, cleanse and renew us, and may it become for those who do your will the source of eternal reward through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For we know it belongs to your boundless glory that you came to the aid of mortal beings with your divinity and even fashioned for us a remedy out of mortality itself, that the cause of our downfall might become the means of our salvation through Christ our Lord. Through him, the host of angels adores your majesty, rejoices in your presence forever. May our voices, we pray, join with theirs in one chorus of exultant praise as we acclaim.
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
You are indeed holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice and, once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Leo, our Pope, and Earl, our Bishop, and all of the clergy. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles, and all of the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life, and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. The Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, "Our
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil."
Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Lamb of God. take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy.
Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
Lord,
I pray. presence in each face. We treasure the gift of this sacred meal, blessed and poured out for all in this place. Bread, your manna from heaven, wine, the fruit of your heart. Come join the feast, take and believe, become what you receive. When two or more gather in your name and see your presence in each face, we treasure the gift of this sacred meal, blessed and poured out for all in this place. It be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my hands and let them move.
Let us stand and pray. Having fed upon these heavenly delights, we pray, O Lord, that we may always long for that food by which we truly live, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And
with your spirit. May Almighty God bless and keep you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go announce the gospel of the Lord. Friends, I'm standing in front of a statue of St. Thomas Aquinas, patron saint of students. In the spiritual life, we're all students. We're growing in faith, hope, and love. I want to thank all those who support this outreach mass ministry by their prayers, by their contributions, that we can share the good news with thousands of households across Michigan. If you wish to support this ministry, send a check payable to Outreach Mass, 955 Alton Road, East Lansing, Michigan, 48823. Thank you for your generosity. May God bless and keep you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.